This podcast is part of the Gunna Geek Network. The opinions expressed may not represent other podcasts or affiliates of Gunna Geek. Check out more podcasts at GunnaGeek.com and get ready because geekiness starts in 3, 2, 1.
Critics say we should be watching these movies.
But we're here to see if they're right.
Join us as we take a cinematic journey through independent and classic film.
So dim the lights.
And get ready for the show.
This is Art House Legends Podcast, where high art and geek culture collide. Welcome to the podcast that's definitely going to die of brain cancer. This is the Movie Dude Eric, and hi Chris. Hi Kent. How's your sex life?
Oh, it was great. I have bought this red dress. Isn't it pretty? It's gonna look so good on Lisa. She's so pretty.
And this is Chris, and hi, doggy.
And this episode, we're discussing The Room, April Fools, starring Tommy Wiseau, Greg Sestero, Julia Danielle, written by Tommy Wiseau, produced by Tommy Wiseau, and directed by Tommy Wiseau. All right, gentlemen. I know that we were supposed to be doing The Room today, or we're supposed to be doing Room today, but, you know, you have to wait until Wednesday for that one. Sorry that you're going to get a little early, were you? Haha. But, gentlemen, are you ready to be talking about what's considered to be one of the worst films of all time?
I don't think anybody is ever ready.
No. All right, so the question comes out to be, have you seen The Room before? Just how familiar are you with the legend of this film?
I've never seen it. The legend is simply that it is bad. And the legends are true. The legends are beyond true. Run! Run away from the demon film! No! Sorry. Got carried away.
All right, well, what about you, Chris? How familiar are you with The Room?
I've seen it several times, and I can't seem to fucking get away from it, so I hope this is the last time I have to see it, honestly.
Yeah. All right, so as for myself, this is my second time seeing the film. The first time I saw it, I was trying to look at it as a genuine film critic. You know, I was going to, you know, see it on its own merits, and I was not disappointed that this was an awful film. This time around, being the film guru that I am, I decided that I was going to take a different stab at this, and I was going to try to look at it from how Tommy Wiseau was trying to see this film. And when I look at it from that perspective, it actually makes a lot more sense now, and I'm going to share with you the secrets of how to watch The Room in order for it to make sense. And no, alcohol doesn't have to be involved.
I did kind of wonder while watching this film, who hurt you, Tommy? Who hurt you?
Actually, you know that someone actually did hurt Tommy Wiseau. This feels extremely personal, right?
Yeah.
This was like after a massive breakup and a fifth of Jack Daniels and a typewriter, right? He is definitely letting out some personal demons out on the world with this one, right?
Definitely.
Just so bad. So, I mean, please unleash a script doctor. It would have improved this 1,000%.
No.
That's just magic, though. That's the magic of it. It's the bad script.
Ah. Because Lisa has to say in every scene how she's going to hurt him.
Don't worry about it.
That's the beauty of this thing. Because watching it this time around, I noticed a few trends. And if you look at it from the idea of, look at it from the perspective of a writer-director, right, that is telling the story as he sees it. If you notice, all the other characters, with the exception of Lisa, loves Tommy.
Yes.
Right? Loves Johnny. The character of Johnny, played by Tommy Wiseau. Everyone loves him. Everyone is worried about him. Everyone wants to see him happy, with the exception of Lisa.
Can we just say the bitch character?
No. Because you have to understand, if this is a film that is being made, or a screenplay that is written after a massive breakup, this is catharsis. This is a filmmaker that is exercising personal demons, and he is using this film as a means of getting those demons. This is the same thing as an emo teenager who writes the "I hate the world and I'm going to kill everyone" kind of poetry, you know, after his first big breakup, right? Except in this instance, the world is literally going to kill him in this movie. Now, the fascinating thing, though, is that this movie came out in 2003. There was another movie that came out in 2003 that I have a feeling is a spiritual twin to this movie. That if you look at it, and especially after I share my knowledge with you, you'll not see The Room nor this other movie the exact same way. That film that came out in 2003 was a movie called Identity, directed by James Mangold, starring John Cusack and a whole bunch of other people. Have you seen Identity?
I'm not familiar with it at all.
I have.
Chris, have you seen Identity?
It's been years, but yeah.
Identity tells the story of a group of strangers who find themselves in an out of the way motel during the night with something attacking them. I'm not going to spoil that film, but as we talk about this film, you might pick up on a few things. But in my opinion, that film and this film are a lot alike, just in reverse. So, let's go ahead and let's get into this deep amount of Freud that we're about to jump into here. Because we're going to go in deep. And I'm not talking about deep into that belly button that apparently is where Johnny seems to stick his dinghy.
And Mark.
Seriously, look at the angle on that sex thrust and where he is positioned. It's going into the belly button.
That's where he likes it. It's nice there. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, it's, I'm sorry, but I could just hear him saying, "It's tight." I'm sorry. I didn't realize that Johnny was in fact Elmer Fudd. Actually, that makes a lot of sense now.
That makes more sense. Yeah. Okay. But he would never hurt a rabbit.
Well, he never does he? I mean, we never actually see Elmer actually kill anything
because he sucks as a hunter, kind of like, well, I don't know.
Well, you can either look at it that he's the world's most terrible hunter, or he's one of the world's greatest animal lovers.
Yeah.
You know? Because, I mean, let's be honest here. Elmer Fudd, for all of his bluster, has shown more care and concern for animals than most of the other Looney Tunes that have ever existed. Right?
Well, most of them are animals, though. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And most of them are smarter than he is, so... Besides, Daffy's a Martian. It's already been proven. Off of Daffy. He looks just like Marvin.
Well, actually, I think that that's how they came up with Marvin the Martian's look. They put a helmet on him and took off the beak.
Anyway, back to this movie. Oh, wait,
yeah,
why
I know,
would we do
I
that?
Don't wanna, I don't want to take you away from the focus of this podcast. But, all right, so here's something also that's very interesting about The Room. Now, the story is about, the central focus is Johnny, right? Johnny is the focus of everything. It's all about him, which, again, plays up to the writer-director hubris thing that we have here, considering that the main actor is, in fact, the writer-director, producer, and probably crafts person as well. Yeah, but also what I find very fascinating here is that if you notice all of the other characters first off, did you also notice how much attention is put to doors in this movie? You see a lot of people coming and going, lots of people entering and exiting. And like one of the most famous scenes involving the flower shop that was mentioned earlier, we see both coming and going in the exact same shots.
Oh, where he just walks through the door, puts on his money, gets his flowers, walks out. Yeah.
Oh, here's your flowers. Right, bye. Cute doggy. Bye-bye. I mean, I have to, I'll say right now, I really just want to take that scene and examine it. I want to examine that scene because that scene is one of the worst scenes of all time. But at the same time, there is brilliance. No, there is brilliance. There is genuine brilliance about exactly how he took a scene that in any other movie would be so dull and so stupid and so inane, and yet with his own stupidity made that scene one of the pivotal scenes in the film.
If he hadn't said hi to that dog, it wouldn't have mattered.
It is pivotal. It was the dog. It was the flowers. It was the fact that she both didn't know who he was and that he's her best customer at the exact same time. The fact that they were mind reading each other. In fact, that is the key.
I actually can see that because, oh, it's you. Oh, I've seen the books. I've seen your receipts. You're one of the best customers. I've had that scenario before working retail where I didn't know who this guy was. And it's like,
well, considering
you're
that
guy.
Takes place in 2.3 seconds. I'm surprised. Yeah. Hell, I mean, the Eye of Sauron wouldn't have known who he was.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
But it was the level of psychic abilities that were done in this scene that showed me the light that is this film and the brilliant stupidity that this film has that is both stupid and brilliant at the same time. Because all of the character, we're not seeing things as they actually happen. We're actually watching all of this in the very moments that Tommy is dying from the self-inflicted gunshot wound.
This is Johnny remembering.
This is all Johnny's remembrance. This is, I don't want to spoil other movies that do the exact same thing. Okay, I will, Jacob's Ladder. Sorry, I had to, considering that we just talked about Elizabeth Pena in our last episode. I felt I had to give her a little bit more love. Sorry. I'm still broken up. But no, the thing is that so all of this is him remembering, and and if you look at how everyone adores Tommy, or I want to say Tommy and I want to say Johnny at the same time. Can I just call him Tommy? Will anyone be upset if I just call him Tommy? I mean, let's be honest here, Johnny,
well, Tommy's,
Tommy,
Tommy, or Tommy's character, or, yeah. I mean, no, protagonist.
Seriously, he it's like he couldn't disguise it enough. He basically is just calling it Tommy, right? In fact, I'm pretty sure that on the script it was Tommy, and that's a producer goes, you can't name him after yourself. Why not? He and me.
But he is the producer, isn't he?
Arguing with himself.
Or, well, an investor.
Somebody
of some
said,
sort.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, dude, you can't be that self-involved. Like, why not? I can do anything I want.
Oh, hi, Denny.
All right. But no, but the thing is, though, is that... oh, shit. But if you look at it, all the characters, that especially the ones that are revolve around Tommy, and I'm going to keep calling him Tommy from now on, so fuck you. But they all have different characteristics. You know, that you have the best friend who's also the one who is guilt-ridden. You have the Denny who is the child, the one who's the pure love. You have the so-called mother-in-law, considering that he really wants to be married and that this is a sense for him to have family. So he idolizes this mother-in-law, and the mother-in-law idolizes him. You have even the best friends who are concerned and yet are the ones that are kind of the warning lights for the treachery of Lisa. All of them have very different characteristics. They share different ideas. They share different concepts of right and wrong. Yet all of them share a love for Tommy. And yet, but the thing is that Lisa's different. Lisa's the tumor. Lisa is the dark spot. She is the, you call her the Satan, but in, I don't think that's really that. I think that it's this cancer that, the reason why he's killing himself, Right. So as he is dying, he's trying to make sense of out of how this person has been able to destroy his life to the point where he killed himself, considering that he has a great job and he has all this great stuff. He just, this one woman is the reason why he's killing himself, even though really he doesn't even really like her that much. My head hurts just thinking about it, but say what you will. If you look at the film in that direction, all the inconsistencies make sense, because it's not about the reality, it's about how Tommy perceives those characters and what they mean in his life. When, you know, do you find it interesting that when it comes to Mark, when Mark has sex with Lisa, she's fully clothed. The only time that we ever see her naked is with Tommy. But when Mark shaves his beard, that's when we see Lisa get naked with Mark, right? Mm-hmm. And they make a big deal out of that, the fact that he shaved his face, considering that this happened just before the tuxedo football game.
Riveting stuff.
Yes, there is a tuxedo football game. It's riveting, absolutely riveting. Okay, I'm really trying hard not to say that I'm pulling this out of my ass, okay? I really am. But it's interesting, though, that he does have the sex scene with Lisa that is fully clothed until he shaves his beard. And on top of that, when he does shave his beard, he starts to take on a lot of the other characteristics from Tommy. Now, considering that Lisa leaves Tommy for Mark, the fact that he's embodying these particular characteristics is would kind of have that kind of dual nature. On top of that, also,
so
I can't believe I'm trying to make
you're,
this.
You're case. Saying Lisa just sees Mark as sexier Johnny.
No, it's not that. It's the fact that in Tommy's mind that she chose Mark because he's becoming more like him. Also, find it very interesting that Tommy is definitely a European, right? I mean, even he calls it out like, how did you meet Lisa? Well, I went to the bank because I was from out of state. All right, they do set that up. Interesting enough is that what's the game that they're constantly playing? Football. Football is not a European sport. It is a completely American sport. Considering the fact that in the fact that he's trying to connect with men, with these friends and these men, with an American sport, that is not something that he would have normally caught on from where he's from, right? So add this all in, and try not to think that I'm pulling it out of my ass, because I'm not. And you have stupid brilliance. Not intentional. He didn't intend this, but it just came out. You know, it's like that bit of savant, you know, that you would get even in the dullest of students at times. It's like he didn't intend it to come out, but it was there the entire time.
Why does this remind me of some of the role playing games I've been in where, you know, if you end up taking like 5 or 6 clues and somehow you have this conspiracy theory that the game master is sitting back going, when did this happen? I can't plot any of this. Okay, we'll run with it. So,
no, I'm just saying.
I like my theory better. That Johnny is actually an alien and this is his way of just coping. Hello, human. How is your sex life? It really is how it follows. And then his mission has failed because he has not successfully mated with Lisa or formed a permanent bond. So he must kill himself.
Well, you know, I'm sure, but the first time he has sex with her, it goes in their belly button, and the second time it goes into her hip. So,
whatever it fits, you know, it's fine. Sex, so. It's good.
Yeah.
But at the same time, though, Mark doesn't do very well either, because the first time is like, even though that they're supposedly having sex, they're not really doing anything. It's I would say that it kind of reminded me of that thing in Demolition Man where you put on the virtual reality helmet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and that's supposed to be sex. I'm starting to think that was basically that version of sex. I mean, and even in the second time, what exactly is he pumping? Because quite honestly, it doesn't really correlate. I'm starting to think that maybe it isn't Tommy that's the alien, but Lisa. Because apparently no one seems to be able to really, you know, be able to hit those spots. And now I'm starting to think species for some reason.
Huh.
Ah, get it out of my head.
But Lisa has a mother, so...
A mother who seems to be like, oh, I have breast cancer.
No big deal. Don't worry about it.
Yes. Yeah, so no one in this movie acts... Yeah. don't make big deal, nothing. I mean, on top of the fact that she goes back and forth from, I hate Tommy, I care about Tommy, I don't want to see him upset, but I'm going to cheat on him anyway because I'm going to do what I want to do because it's all about me. Which, again, if you look at it from a guy who's wrestling with a breakup, obviously he's going to think that's exactly what she's thinking. So.
That makes sense, but... Yeah. Okay, well, here's a question for you, though. I was watching this film, and all I saw was Trainwreck, but it says it's a dark comedy.
I don't know. I think I'd prefer The Room over Trainwreck any day.
Yeah. I don't see it as a comedy in any way. It's like a drama that is failing on all cylinders.
I laughed my ass off on this one.
Because of how bad it was, or actual jokes? Because I couldn't find them.
No, it's awful. The reason you laugh is not because it's intentionally trying to be funny. It's not trying to be funny. It is not. It is not. Oh, hi, Mark. Sorry, had to do that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, no, there's like, she tries to get him drunk, and then they have sex, and then she tries to say that she hits, that he hit her to her mother, and then he just starts screaming about how, I did not hit you, I did not. But who is he talking to? Because I thought it was like a Bluetooth or something, but no. This was 2003, they didn't have Bluetooth.
Yeah.
So who was he yelling at to?
The world.
Everything about this movie don't make sense unless you look at it from the Jacob's Ladder perspective.
Yeah. Okay, but like... Random question. Who has pillow fights before sex? Like, seriously. What? What?
Me?
No!
What are you talking about?
No, you don't! No!
that gets out a little extra energy before you get to the... But to me, I'm more worried about that imaginary music and candlelight that Mark is seeing when he's having his first tryst with Lisa. So, I mean, seriously, it was like, unless he's actually hearing the actual score of the film, and in that case, then he's breaking the fourth wall, which means that this is a spiritual predecessor to Deadpool.
Oh, sorry, you're serious, aren't you? But am I? Yeah.
I'm curious about, because Greg wrote a book about his experience on the film, so I'm wondering... Yeah.
Yeah, and they're making that into a movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I how did this movie only become popular because it was this bad?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I will say I do have to give props to actress Robin Paris as Michelle because I could actually feel that she was acting.
Oh, no.
You take that
you
back.
You have to think
nobody
about Michelle's boyfriend
movie.
With his awesome O face. That was the most glorious face of all time. And she didn't even get down there before he had it. Like I said, man. All aliens. All of them. Unless you like John Holmes and we don't realize it.
Oh, well.
We're not going to...
Which, I mean, considering if you look at the underwear that he was wearing.
We're not going to talk about the guy that played Peter switching roles or switching actors or whatever. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes. I mean, was that intentionally being a swapped role? Was that supposed to be the guy in the glasses?
That was Peter.
Because I don't know.
That was supposed to be Peter.
I mean, I will say that there were several times when I was going, who's that guy?
Yeah. is this another friend that just loves Johnny or what?
I was reading on
No, they all love Johnny. even when they're not actually his friends, but her friends. Her friends love Johnny more than they love her.
I was reading Tommy Wazow was like this close.
They're also
Tommy Wazow was this close to putting a vampire storyline into the room.
All right. Can we talk about the lemmings? The fact that Lisa, all she has to go is, let's go outside. Okay, everyone goes right outside, like lemmings.
Let's
everyone go inside.
Just so weird. Like, everybody go, everybody do this, everybody do that. Like, what?
She's a bossy bitch.
And then, of course, can we also talk about that awesome transition after they sing Happy Birthday, where they sing Happy Birthday, and then we have that panoramic view of San Francisco, only to go back to the party after this panoramic view for no reason whatsoever?
Well, there's a lot of shots just to remind you that you're in San Francisco, which
I don't know why, nearly enough, though.
But unless maybe they got money from San Francisco?
No,
but,
it's called runtime.
Yeah. Like,
you have to pad that shit. Gotta pad it. Just saying. But no, man, it's... Oh, that entire party is like freaking hilarious. It's like I said, and on top of that, especially if you're did you watch it with earphones or a headset?
No.
No.
Because if you had a headset or earphones, what is even funnier, especially if you've ever done any kind of audio editing like I have to do for this show, is you can tell that the ADR was done basically in a warehouse.
Oh,
okay. Because people can start talking like this in the middle of the conversation, and then they can talk like this for a little bit, and then it's like, and then on top of that, it is like that the entire damn movie. They don't even go back and forth. Like, they don't even try to mask the fact that they are using different ADR. It's like, on top of that, you could also, there's a couple of sequences that reminded me of Singing in the Rain, where you could tell that the actor accidentally bumped up against the microphone. And it was hilarious, but you have to listen to it with headphones to hear it. To be able to distinguish the different ADR takes. And I'm thinking that maybe they had to do like 5 or 6 ADR trips because and on top of the syncing. I mean, there are times when, you know, especially Tommy will all of a sudden go full spaghetti western where his mouth and his voice don't match, or that he's not saying anything at all with his mouth and yet he's saying something, which only makes sense if this was all in his head. See, there were subtle clues the entire way through. You just weren't paying attention because you were too invested in how awful it was.
I think my brain was trying to protect the rest of my body from what was happening, so I was in mental shock. So, yeah.
But can you bring up a better idea as to why things happen the way they are? Can you come up with something half as convoluted? I mean half as convincing?
Aliens! Aliens!
He's a pod person, obviously.
unless it is an alien who killed themselves and reenacting it. Yes.
Alright. Well, alright, is there anything else we want to bring up? Any other scenes that you feel like you absolutely have to talk about other than someone else's sex life?
This should have been a porno. It would have made more sense.
No, honestly, it felt like a Skinamax. It really does. If you notice, it especially the first four sex sequences.
The first 20 minutes.
It felt like Red Shoe Diaries. Now, bear in mind, I cannot diss Red Shoe Diaries because it did give us David Duchovny. Just saying. Yeah, that was before X-Files, motherfucker.
Did he know, oh, hi, it said 9 times in the film?
Is that all?
Just 9?
Oh, wow. Hey is done 7 times. So combined is 16, but... Oh, hi. And then, oh, hey. It just feels like so many more.
No, for me, I was counting all the times that Tommy does the Elmer Fudd chuckle. It's like, oh, you beat women. That's funny.
Oh, God. Oh.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, I didn't hit her.
Maybe a little.
Like, why are you laughing?
Oh, God.
All right, right. Is there any other scenes that we want to talk about? Or should we end this?
The weird drug. There's a deleted scene that's a redo of, or an alternate take. It's really an alternate take of the whole drug dealer beating up the kid and everybody comes in and saves him. That takes place on the ground instead of up on top of the building. And yeah, I have to agree. The one on top of the building is a better take. Because down at ground level, it looks super cheesy and just raw.
Mm-hmm.
Surprised anything
like
was deleted
back
at all.
Alley somewhere, and yeah. Well, they call it deleted scene, but it's really an alternate version of the same scene.
Yeah.
Oh, they just didn't find a way to add that into the film somewhere.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, so I have a question, though. If you do find yourself in a Rocky Horror situation where there's a performance group that is going to be doing The Room, would you go see it for that?
I'm curious to know what they would do during it. Like, oh, hi! Hi! Or, like, what do you do during a performance? How do you talk back to
I
the
hear
screen?
They throw plastic
well,
spoons.
For me,
yeah,
they do.
Maybe, yeah. So... Okay.
For me, though, I know for me, what I would be doing is I would have what I call "Hi Denny, Bye Denny," because Denny will just all of a sudden show up somewhere just to leave. Like, oh, I'm here. Hi Denny. Oh, I gotta go. Bye Denny. Like, oh, I'm here. Hi Denny. Oh, bye Denny. Like, literally, that's what he does. Like half the time.
Denny sucks. I'm sorry.
Like any time.
He's terrible. Like, one minute he's innocent, and the next minute he's creepy, wanting to watch him have sex, and it's like, what the fuck are you doing, Denny? He's a drug-dealing weirdo.
He just wants a family. He just wants
Yeah,
to...
he... I do feel sorry for that character.
And baking supplies.
But at the same time, like...
Oh, let's not forget, is he dead with the hole in the head?
Yeah.
Like,
well...
You can walk it off.
Wake
Fight
up!
Fight Club. I mean, the guy shoots himself in the mouth. So,
which is another movie about someone that's inside his head.
Okay.
And
you can't escape Whoa. It. You can't escape it.
Actually, if you go that route, were any of these characters real?
No. Or even if they weren't, though, they're still there to help him cope over the cancer that is Lisa. So even if they weren't real. Lisa's real. That we know.
Yeah.
And she's so beautiful.
So, there you go. Well, I mean, she was pretty decent.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say maybe a 7.
Oh, you're very generous, sir.
Yeah, 7.
Her friend's better.
This is very true.
So,
you mean the one that was obviously reading off cue cards the entire time because she's looking right off
she
camera?
She liked chocolate.
And yet was delivering the lines better. She was delivering the lines better than Lisa. So
I don't know. I find her Peter Pan pouting to be kind of endearing. I don't want to be what you want me to be. I want to be what I want to be, which apparently is okay. Yeah, let's go because I'm yeah. My head's starting to hurt. All right, gentlemen. Obviously, I don't think anyone's going to be passing or failing this one. So I'm going to ask you a question.
Uh oh.
What would you do
if I sang out of
in order to get out of? Watching The Room again, if you had to do something horrific, either to yourself or to somebody else, to get out of watching The Room, what would you be willing to do? And I want to start with you, Kent.
Oh, look at this work schedule. I just remembered I have like 6 hours of shit I need to do right away. Bye. Which actually I kind of do, but I would actually prefer to watch this film fully intending to make fun of it. I mean, there was within two hours of me last night, there was a showing of it where Tommy was going to be there. So, I mean, that, if it was full live audience, if it was big audience, anything goes, I might actually be into that with the right crowd. But if it's just, here, why don't you watch this alone again? I'd be like, nope, I've got 100 million... Oh, look, dog needs walked. Sorry, can't watch it. I'm going to be walking him for the next 4 hours. Yes, we'll figure something out.
All right, Chris, what would you do to get out of watching The Room?
I know what I want to say, but you're probably going to want to stab me, like you said in the last thing or whatever. And I was going to say watch Lone Star again. But,
that's okay.
Oh!
Ow!
Ouch!
Ouch! Oh! Oh!
Yeah.
Honestly, I know this is going to sound weird, but I could watch The Room again, especially now that I have my inside. Now that I can look at it in a certain way and embrace the audacity and stupidity of it the way that it was never intended to be, I could get through this and not flinch. In fact, there'd be other movies, namely Trainwreck, I would never see again. I would actually watch this over other things, you know, like filing taxes, which all you people out there, it is 15 days from now, so...
No, I actually don't mind filing my taxes, mostly because I always get a refund, but, you know, I don't mind it.
All right, gentlemen, I think we can go ahead and call this one a day. We are going to be doing the actual real Room,
yes.
Just coming up this week, so keep an eye on that. It's going to be a great, great conversation. I think I'm really excited about it. And we have a great August ahead, so please keep an eye on all of our new episodes every Wednesday. If you see it and it's not a Wednesday, then it's more than likely something silly. So just keep that in mind. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me. Are there any last things you want to say before we close this up?
You want to throw the football around?
Don't touch me, motherfucker.
You're tearing me apart, Kent. Alright, this is the Movie Date, Eric.
Yeah, this is Kent.
And this is Chris.
Get out. Get the fuck out.